InvestKL Conversations, brought to you by BFM in collaboration with InvestKL.
John Preston, Country Manager, DSB Relocations Malaysia. Thank you for being on the InvestKL Conversations. You're a bit of a global citizen, a traveller. You've been in the region 14 years. You've lived in Thailand, you've lived in Korea, you've obviously Australia, New Zealand as well. Mm. You've seen the comings and goings, the ebbs and flows of expatriates in the region. Mm-hmm. Give us a bit of a viewpoint, particularly with regard to Malaysia and how expatriates are looking at this country.
I think the way that expatriates have looked at Malaysia over the years, if you go back when I first came to Malaysia, I suppose a lot of more green in Mount Kiara. I remember sitting having a beer on my veranda overlooking Garden International School and surrounded by green trees and jungle. And I go out on my veranda today and I see nothing other but condominiums and so forth. So I think in terms of there's been an amazing growth of construction in Malaysia. Lifestyle has certainly improved a lot in terms of the availability of good quality restaurants, getting around's a lot easier. One of the problems, I suppose, that expats always complain about is taxis and the treatment they get in taxis. And one of the major developments, obviously, things like My Taxi, that you can have an app on your phone and order a taxi that way, and it's 100% safe and people turn up.
Yeah, John, that would be nitpicking a bit, though, because, I mean, clearly, you know, from the transition from 14 years ago, when there are not that many expatriates in the city, and now you've got a whole ton load of expatriates, I guess it's a bit of a manifestation of the popularity of the city and of KL and doing business in KL. Has that been reflected in the feedback that you've gotten from your customers?
Yes, I mean, there's been an amazing growth in the oil and gas sector, most certainly in manufacturing and in the IT sector. That's attracting a lot of expatriates from around the world. We see increased movement, especially from places like the US. Korea is very, very popular. India, well, it's the traditional markets of the UK and Australia and New Zealand.
Now, quite clearly, very different profiles of expatriates from the traditional Australia, America, you know, UK kind of expatriates. Now, very much an international flavour. The Indian nationals, the China nationals, obviously Singapore as well. What are the needs of these kinds of expatriates and how does KL meet them?
We look at expatriates in a way, where are they coming from? Where's their country of origin? For example, Americans coming to Malaysia, they're high touch. They need to be frequently contacted and assisted in everything they do. And they can make decisions very quickly, opposed to, say, the European market, which will tend to want to do everything themselves and procrastinate. So we see vast differences between expatriates. Koreans, Japanese people coming in, they have the challenge of not being able to speak English. And that results in the spouse struggling initially in setting things up like Astro, those sorts of things where people can't communicate to establish what sort of packages they want on Astro. Yeah. China, Chinese. They're relatively easy to work with, looking at establishing their children in schools that speak Mandarin. Their needs aren't as great as the Europeans and the Americans and the Australians.
Yeah, so clearly very different requirements and very different expectations for these different types of expatriates. When you work with your customers, how easy is it to meet all their differing needs? And what kind of levers, you know, and how easy is it to leverage the city's facilities, the administration, the government? How easy is it for you to use these levers to help your customers assimilate?
So for expatriates settling into Kuala Lumpur, it's very important that the spouse settles down. The working party can normally network with their friends at work. The challenge is normally the spouse at home. In Kuala Lumpur, we're very fortunate that we have associations like MANSA, the Malaysian Australian New Zealand Group, where the community there assists one another. There's a Japanese association, there's an American association, German association and so forth, where spouses can network and settle in. So any particular requirements they've got, whether it be food, where do you buy stuffing for Thanksgiving? The associations tend to help them out and the spouses will tend to become members of those associations and it makes a life a lot easier for them settling in.
Yeah, I mean, John, anecdotally, visually at least, we can see it's very easy for the expatriates. It's a very good life. It's a very nice life that, you know, expatriates lead in Kuala Lumpur. Now, just referencing your experiences in Thailand as well as in Korea, referencing these other Asian cities, as it were, how does KL stack up against those areas?
Very well. In Kuala Lumpur, especially when I was in Seoul and in Bangkok, the biggest challenge you had really was communication.
Most people, those cities are not English speaking. That's
correct.
Not the lingua franca.
Yeah. And you have problems like reading signs in Korea or in Bangkok. They're not in English. It's easy to get around. Malaysians, if you pay respect to them, will treat you very friendly. And will be very, very helpful. So I think one of the things that is attractive for Kuala Lumpur is communication is easy, and that's very important when you're going to a new country because, let's face it, there's challenges, there's new things to learn.
Yeah. What about things like restaurants, F&B culture, you know, theatre trips, things like that, schooling, you know, where the kids are concerned clearly as well, they've got to be put in nice places of learning as well. What about those areas?
Well, Kuala Lumpur, again, has a unique situation that over, I suppose, the last 7 years, the availability of international schooling here. If you go back about
It's quite really proliferated, right?
Correct, yeah. When you look at the capacity of the schools, say, 7 years ago, they're running about 90 to 92% capacity. When you look at the top-tier schools, which would be Garden International, Alice Smith, Mount Kiara International School, ISKL, they're all running about 70%, which is ideal for foreign companies wanting to bring families in. One of the challenges people used to have in Kuala Lumpur was the fact that they may get the child into one school, but they didn't have positions for both children. So now it's a lot easier to have their whole family at one school.
Well, certainly from my experiences with friends, you know, who do live in Singapore, Hong Kong, that's not necessarily the case in terms of getting their kids in. Mm-hmm. But what about the other issues where the spouses and the families are concerned in terms of weekends and, you know, other things like perhaps cost of living issues? How do those areas play up in KL's perspective?
Well, cost of living obviously is quite low. I think Kuala Lumpur was ranked in TripAdvisor of being the eighth most affordable city in the world to live in. So, I mean, the cost of living in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur in particular is very, very low. Going out for an evening meal in a restaurant, you can go out with my family of four and you can eat quite comfortably a very nice meal for around about 170 ringgit, which I think, you know, you can't do that in
That's
a lot
not
of the...
bad, yeah.
Yeah.
So you work with a lot of customers coming into the city as well as going out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the trend must be the fact that there's a lot more coming into KL. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, in general terms, I mean, with our market, you have peaks and troughs, where you have the peaks at the end of the school year for the British schools. You have a mass exodus at that time, and then that's followed by an inbound market movement, and the same around the end of the year, Christmas time. So we're seeing a general increase in the number of companies bringing expatriates in. And I think that's primarily because let's face it, the accommodation in Kuala Lumpur is fantastic and there's an oversupply. So it benefits the expatriates and with the international schooling as well. It also benefits the expatriates because of the low cost and high quality of the schools here. When you look at on the British school system, Garden International is ranked seventh in the world in terms of British education. So the quality of education here is outstanding.
Yeah, one other aspect that doesn't really get very much mentioned in the public press, I think, and you having come from the Australian, New Zealand environment as well, is the availability of sports and sporting activities in KL.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rank that in terms of the typical sports, like, you know, things like maybe, you know, cricket or rugby or football or tennis or things like that?
Yeah, through the expat associations and the schools, I think one of the most popular sports for businessmen is golf. And there's a lot of golf courses and very, very inexpensive. I play golf quite regularly. And if I wanted to, there's expatriate groups playing about three times a week.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of friends playing the Ryder Cup equivalent, but in Saujana. So what are the things what would the expatriates do? What do they get up to on weekends other than playing golf? And
Well, there's groups that play rugby. There's groups that play cricket. Shopping is obviously quite a popular pastime here. There's lots of parks that people go out to. Jogging is very, very popular. So there's always lots to do on the weekend, whether it's participating in fun runs, which is a lot to do there. And expatriates, when they're over here, the spouses tend to contribute to charities and to get involved in raising money to help.
John, lots of evidence of expatriate families having, you know, come to KL and having come to Malaysia and then staying on beyond, obviously, the tenure of their posting. Many stories in your case as well?
A lot of stories and a lot of the golfing groups of people that have been around for a number of years. And they clearly enjoy Kuala Lumpur. They might go home for a month or two to their home country. But they love living in Malaysia. I mean, the lifestyle here is good. People are friendly.
Well, you've been coming back and forth for the last 14 years, and now you've been here for the last 5 years.
Yeah, so. No, I think I'll stay here. and I think when you look at what attracts people, what makes people stay, I think it's the friendliness of the people, the low cost of living. I think that's well up there. And also, I suppose there's lots to do, lots of places to go out in the evenings, have a beer with your friends, have a meal with your friends and so forth. One of the things that I suppose I'd like to say in terms of what is attractive for companies investing over here is clearly the capacity that we have to take expatriates on. And when we look at, we have an oversupply of accommodation, particularly in the 7 to 10,000 ringgit or 7 to 12,000 ringgit.
Rental range.
Rental range, which that's where most of the expatriates sit. And also the capacity we've got in international schools and also the quality of international schools, part of what is going to attract foreign companies to invest here because they're going to bring in families in and those families have got to live somewhere. The accommodation that we've got over here, the amount of new accommodation is, you know, unbelievable.
John Preston, it was an immense pleasure chatting with you and thank you for spending time with us. John Preston, Country Manager, DSP Relocations Malaysia, thank you for being on the InvestKL Conversations.
InvestKL Conversations, brought to you by BFM in collaboration with InvestKL. Greater KL, the regional headquarters for MNCs in Asia. For more information on how InvestKL can help your business, visit www.investkl.gov.my.